Admiral. She knew in her heart it was a mistake, but she'd been laid off and needed the cash, and her memories of the Strikers were mostly on the favorable side. So when Mrs. Stryker called, "Gretchen? This is Gretchen? Mrs. Stryker?" She'd said yes. She'd love to come over and hear what they had to say. First, though, she had to listen to her car cough as she drove across town. Fuel pump. That was her father's opinion, offered in a flat voice that said none of it was his problem, not anymore, not now that she was grown and living back at home after a failed attempt at life. And she nearly stole the thing, turning into the Striker's block. And then did stole it, as she tried against any reasonable expectation of success, to parallel park in front of their great rearing fortress of a house. It felt strange punching in the code at the gate and seeing how things were different and the same. How the trees had grown while the flower beds remained in a state of suspended animation, everything in perpetual bloom and clipped to within a millimeter of perfection. The gardeners saw to that, a whole battalion of them that swarmed over the place twice a week with their blowers and edgers and trimmers at war with the weeds, the insects, the gophers and ground squirrels, and the very tendency of the display plants to want to grow outside the box. At least that was how she remembered it. The gardeners. And how Admiral would rage at the windows, showing his teeth and scrabbling with his claws. And if he could have chewed through the glass, he would have done it. "That's right, boy," she'd say. "That's right. Don't let those bad men steal all your dead leaves and dirt. You go, boy. You go. That's right." She rang the bell at the front door, and it wasn't Mrs. Stryker who answered it, but another version of herself in a white maid's apron and a little white maid's cap perched atop her head, and she was so surprised she had to double clutch to keep from dropping her purse. "A woman of color does not clean house." That was what her mother always told her. And it had become a kind of mantra when she was growing up, a way of reinforcing core values, of promoting education and the life of the mind. But she couldn't help wondering how much higher a dog sitter was on the socioeconomic scale than a maid. Or a sous chef, waitress, aerobics instructor, ticket puncher, and tortilla maker, all of which she'd been at one time or another. About the only thing she hadn't tried was leech gathering. There was a poem on the subject in her college text by William Wordsworth, the poet of daffodils and leeches, and she could summon it up whenever she needed a good laugh. She developed a quick picture of an old long-nosed white man rolling up his pant legs and wading into the murk, then squeezed out a miniature smile and said, "Hi, I'm Nisha. I came to see Mrs. Stryker and Mr. Stryker." The maid, she wasn't much older than Nisha herself with a placid expression that might have been described as self-satisfied or just plain vacant, held open the door. "I'll tell them you're here," she said. Nisha murmured a thank you and stepped into the tiled foyer, thinking of the snake brain and the olfactory memories that lay coiled there. She smelled dog, smelled Admiral, with an overlay of old socks and furniture polish.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?